This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Precious Holy Spirit, you are the one who reveals Jesus. You are the one who convicts every heart. You are the one who glorifies Jesus, not only to us, but through us as well. And our heart's desire is to allow Christ to be seen in each one of our lives and in this generation that you've called us to the kingdom in this time as well. And Father, we just pray in Jesus' name. You touch our hearts, Lord. Continue that work that you have begun. We pray this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Not really sure how to start. It was a while ago, I read out a scripture, and it was out of Isaiah chapter 50. And it was a call of God in verse 2. And it was from God saying, Why, when I came, was there no man? Why, when I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot save? Or have I no power to deliver? Indeed, with my rebuke, I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. The fish stink because there's no water. And just in other words, God's hand is not short that he can't save. But it was that call about, said, why when I came was there no man? Why when I called was there none to answer? We're in such exciting times where God has been calling to us to draw near to him. Because if we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. Because there's a lot of stuff that he wants to show us, that he wants to reveal to us, that the eye hasn't seen and the ear hasn't heard, hasn't entered into the heart of man. But God has revealed it to us how? By his Holy Spirit. These are incredibly exciting times and confusing times as well. The Bible talks about the last days. There's actually a scripture in Isaiah where, you know, they have watchmen that are set on the walls, and the crier cries out to the watchman and says, watchman, watchman, what of the night? You know, how far has the night gone? And the watchman returns, answers him and says, the night's coming, also the day. Now, that's pretty confusing, isn't it? The Bible says we're children of the day. We're not children of the night. So this call of God, why when I came was there no man? Why when I called was there none to answer? This is talking when God was wanting to intervene in the earth. When, you know, the Bible talks about God's visitation. You know, God visited Sodom and Gomorrah. He visited all the nations of the earth. He would visit at times, and he would visit every one of our lives at times as well. And depending on the condition of our hearts and lives, there would be a consequence of that visitation. And so God is crying. He's wanting to visit the earth because God is good. God is amazing. We've heard all those things. God is incredible. He is a God who is mighty to save. And he says, my arm is not short that I can't save. It's not short. There is nothing too hard for him. Nothing is impossible for him. No darkness is dark enough that God, well, what's darkness got to do with light? You know, don't try to drive the darkness out. Just turn the light on. That's how mighty our God is. There is no contest, no conflict. So the issue is turning on the light. And, you know, we have God visit our lives. He visits you. He visits every one of us. And it's amazing when God visits us, don't we? We're just so blessed. And we like visiting with somebody you love to spend time with. You go and visit them. Well, you know, what's better than visitation? The thing that's better than visitation is you stay with them. Isn't that what marriage is all about? Love visiting Bev, driving Oh, many, many years ago. Mum and Dad couldn't stop me. I had to walk. I'd walk up there to visit Bev. What's better than that? It's when it's living to, it's permanent. That's better. I got to stay. I got to stay with you. And you know what? That's what God wants from every one of us. You know, there's lots of stories in the Bible to depict that. Remember Elisha the prophet, that there was a certain woman who Elisha would come and visit her town every so often. And this woman said, I'm not going to just have it. We've got to make sure that this, she said to her husband, we've got to make sure this man stops at our place. And she actually built a room. And she put a bed in it. She put a chair in it. She put a light in the room. And she made sure that every time Elisha, the prophet of God, came by, that he would stop. He would stay in her house. And what was the outcome of that? You know, later on in the story, there was such a relationship grew there that one day many miracles came out of it. She was a barren woman. And God, through the prophet, announced that she was going to have a child, and she did. And I think probably when he got about 7 years old, something happened where he was dying or died. And she called out to the prophet because of the relationship she had with him and called upon him. And the prophet cried, Elisha cried out to God, and her son was raised from the dead. You know, we're living in a generation that needs to see the power of God, and it's going to see it through you and me. Here we are. You know, that's what this, here we are. We are for signs and wonders. You know, the greatest sign and wonder that we can be is that God is with you. God is. That's the greatest sign. That's the greatest wonder, that we can live in a world that's full of unholiness, full of self-seeking, full of this, and yet we can live for God in this generation. Bev talked about that scripture, you know, if you love the world, the love of the Father's not in you. He's not a two-timer. So God is wanting to reveal and demonstrate his power like never before. But it's going to mean you and me. Because God said, my arm's not short that I cannot save. So what is he saying? He turns around and says, but it's your iniquities. Why, when I come, was there no man? Well, he answered that call because the Bible said he wondered that there was no man. He wondered that there was no, and he used the term intercessor, somebody to stand in the gap, somebody to stand where no one else would come. You know what happened? God visited his people, Israel, and man, they're making idols there. You know, they're doing all the wrong thing, and God's visiting them. You know what he's going to do? Wipe them all out. I'm not putting up with these two-timers anymore. I'm going to wipe them all out. Had not Moses stood in the gap. And what did he do? He turned away their wrath. You know what he ended up saying? Look, kill me, God. But don't. And then reminded God, remember what you said, that you were going to, you're going to take this people, you're going to demonstrate your power, you're going to bring them into the nations. God, if you wipe them out, what's going to happen to what you said? And so here we are in a generation that God wants to shine his light in such a way, and he's going to come visiting this nation. He's going to come visiting this nation, and depending on what he sees, he's going to respond to it. Are we going to be a people who will be able to stand in the gap? Because we have not just visiting rights with God. Every Sunday I meet with God, it's fantastic. What about living with him? Jesus said, abide in me. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. What do you say? You will ask what you will and it shall be done. Well, we love to quote it, but there's a process to that. You know what the process is? He said, if you love me, what? You will obey me. then if we obey him, what? We will abide him. You can't say you're abiding in him if you're not obeying him. If you're not loving your brother, well, that's not obeying him. And the Bible says you are in darkness right now. No matter what you quote, you're in darkness right now. And so God is, he says, why when I came was there no man? And this is what's on my heart and trying to express for the heart of God. I want to share something with you in Leviticus, in the book of Leviticus, and we'll just start chapter 1. It says, God called to Moses and spoke to him from the tabernacle of meeting. Last time he spoke to him, it was up on the mountain. Remember, nobody wanted to come near there. But here he called to Moses and spoke to him from the tabernacle of meeting. God's speaking to us right now. And he's calling to each one of us from this tabernacle of meeting, if you like. That's what it is, isn't it? Every time we assemble together, Bible says, forsake not the assembling of you to get of yourselves together, and so much the more as the day is approaching. So we're assembled together. The tabernacle of meeting, this is literally what this is. Who are we meeting with? Who did you come to meet with? Who did I come to meet with today? Do we come, you know, because we like great worship? They're all good things, or great preaching or anything. But really, what did you come here today for? Who did you come to meet with? It's great to meet with brothers and sisters, but who else did you come to meet with today? It's a tabernacle of meeting, and first and foremost, it's meeting with God. We've got to have right relationships with our brothers and sisters, because if you haven't, you're not going to see his face. If there's unforgiveness in your heart, you won't see his face. So deal with it. You can, by the blood of Jesus. Repent, stop it, and get clean, and you'll see his face. And he said, speak to the children of Israel. So, in a sense, I'm doing that right now. I'm going to speak to you. You're the sons of God, children of God. And he says, and say to them, when any one of you brings an offering to the Lord, you shall bring an offering of the livestock, of the herd, of the flock. And just that thing, when you... Those two words, bring and offering, are actually, the word bring and the word offering are both from the same root word, which means to be close with, to be near to. Remember God's been saying, draw near to me, all right? If we draw near to him, all right, God is with us. God is with us, but it's a bit like me with Bev. You know, I love go visiting her, but I'm after more. Bev's after more. God's after more. Are you after more? So the same word, close. In fact, it's an intimacy. It's a very special kind of intimacy that God is wanting. And so he's calling to us to draw near. So when one brings, it means really to approach, to make it, I'm going to get closer. I'm not satisfied with right where I'm at. We got, I want to get closer. You know, the word offering is in the same word. It means to approach with an approacher. The offering is what brings us close. It's the offering itself. So, you know, in our society now, you know, you got a key, right? A key is how to get in the door. It's your approacher, I suppose you could say, or you've got a ticket to get into a venue that you paid for. That's your approacher. That's your key or your ticket to get in. Well, the offering is what brings us near. And the offering is all about Jesus Christ. What do you say? No one comes to the Father except what? Through me. He is what brings us. So we know the theory, we know all of that, but he who comes. When anybody brings, wants to approach, wants to get closer, you know, we think, oh God, I don't think he'll accept me. Well, no, he wouldn't. But he will in Christ. And it doesn't matter what you've done. If it doesn't matter anything about that except that you trust completely in Jesus Christ. And no matter what you've done or what kind of a mess you've got into or how far away you may feel that you are from God, through Jesus Christ, you can come near. You can draw near. In fact, it says in the whole book of Hebrews, you know, Hebrews, if you look at Hebrews, I see two themes running through that. It's those who draw back and those who draw near. What does it say? Therefore, brethren, let us have boldness and draw near with a true heart. How can you have a true heart? Well, you can't and I can't, but in Christ we can. Because he is our righteousness. So we draw near with a true heart in what? The only thing that pleases God is, pointed out, in full assurance of faith. Faith in what? Faith in the fact that Jesus died for all of our sins, washed us totally clean, so that we can come faultless before the presence of his glory. Why? Because there's a throne there to get a hold of. There's power there that needs to be brought to bear on this earth. There are people that we need to stand in the gap for because God has a relationship with me. Here he's coming to destroy, as it were, and we're standing right there. And he stops because he sees us. Well, we don't care. We're not going to be there, are we? But if you draw near to God, you can't help but get his heart and what he really wants to do. So that's what I'm feeling God is calling the church to in our generation. But as I said, in the book of Hebrews, there's those that draw back. Why do they draw back? Because it's getting too hard. Because things are happening that they were getting discouraged. They were getting disappointed. They were getting disillusioned. I mean, Paul's talking to them. I believe Paul wrote it. He's talking to them and he's saying, look, what's happened to that confidence you had at the first? Remember when you were so in love with Jesus, God was all that you wanted, that the authorities were coming and taking your houses away from you and you were rejoicing. Anybody had their house taken away from them? I don't see any hands. But oh, you have. No wonder you're so joyful. Praise God. But still rejoicing. So, well, let's compare ourselves with what we're going through. You know, lest any of you or me be discouraged and we what? Draw back. So we know all about God. We can still speak all the right words. But only we in our heart know what the relationship's really like. Only you know. You know, we can all put on the wonderful face and say everything's rosy. But when it's right, there's so much God is wanting to do. We heard it this morning. So heaven is open wide and he's wanting to pour it out. But there is coming times of real trouble. But it's in the midst of that darkness is coming, also the light, and it all depends on where your focus is. If your focus is, Lord, I've just got to know you, all I know, one thing I know, one thing I desire, that will I seek after, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord. And what? To behold his beauty. That's a heart thing, isn't it? Isn't God awakening that within every one of our hearts? As Paul said, I press on to know him. Doesn't matter whether there's suffering. In fact, there will be suffering because that's how we get to know him. Peter, you know what Peter said? He that suffered in the flesh. How many of us get suffering in the flesh? Come on. Has ceased from sin. Oh, is that the only way, Lord? Isn't there a better way? Yes, follow after him with all your heart. Desire him. Paul said, I press on to know him. I want to know even the fellowship of his sufferings, not just suffering in the flesh, but his suffering. Because I want to know him. Because he is the joy, the delight of my heart. He is everything to me. That's what God has put in you. So when he says, when any of you brings an offering, approach with the approacher, and that's Jesus Christ. Do you know those offerings? This is what I want to say. Those offerings, there's about five different offerings. Two of them were compulsory. They were the sin offering and the guilt offering. What's that? That's Jesus Christ. That was the why when I came was there no man. Well, he found a man. He found the Lord Jesus Christ, who is that sin offering for every single man, woman, boy, and girl. And the guilt offering as well. Washed away all our guilt and all of our shame. But there were other offerings that the children of Israel were free will. This is talking about a free will offering. That you can't, it's not compulsory. But I tell you, when those offerings, they were called the burnt offering, those offerings actually, God said, were a pleasing smell in his nostrils. Remember Noah, when he gets out of the boat? He offers a sacrifice to God. It wasn't compulsory. Here he is, he's got the animals in the ark, and that's all that's left out of the whole world. And yet he takes some of them and offers them as a burnt offering to the Lord. And the Bible says God smelled a sweet aroma. Now, we've got to realize what this is all pointing. It's pointing to Noah's coming out of the ark. Who's the ark? Christ Jesus. He realized he's been totally saved, healed, delivered, set free. He's alive when the judgment of God has fallen over the whole earth. And out of the abundance of his heart, he cannot help but offer an offering. They're called burnt offerings. Why? Because they go up. They go up. They go up in flame. You know, when the Bible says all this language, it talks about who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. What's that? That's a Christian who is drawn near with the offering that brings him near, Jesus Christ, because we know he's washed me clean. He's washed my heart clean. He's washed my hands clean. He's washed every part of me clean. And all I can do is just say, God, here I am. I give everything to you. And it's an offering that ascends to God. It's an offering that God is well pleased with because it's with all of your heart. And all of my heart. That's the only response that we can have to what Jesus Christ has done for us. And he's saying, who will go for me? Who will I send? That's who he's looking for to send, to share the good news of what Jesus Christ has done for every single person on the face of this earth. Yes, there's coming visitation. But we can turn that into an absolute blessing for people when we speak the gospel to them. That's what we're called to do. When we stand up, I just want to finish and pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, we know that you're going to visit this earth. And we want to be a people who will stand in the gap. God, that will turn your wrath away, that your blessing might flow. Lord, we want to be a people who stand before men and declare your goodness and your mercy and show forth. We want to be a people who arise and shine. Lord, wherever you have planted us, no matter what's going on around about us, we want to be a people who shine with your love, with your grace, with your mercy, and with your power. Lord, for you have promised it. Here we are. Lord, send us. Lord, thank you for this time that you have brought us to the kingdom. You've brought us out of darkness into your marvelous light, that we should show forth your praises. Thank you, Lord, that your arm isn't short, that you cannot save. Lord, thank you that you have washed all of our iniquities, Lord. You've healed all of our diseases. Here we are, God, grip our hearts afresh. And this day, Lord, we're going to pursue you with all of our heart, our mind, and our strength, Lord, for your will to be done and your kingdom to come on earth just like it is in heaven. And so, Lord, as the early church gathered together and, Lord, called out to you, you poured out your spirit upon, there were visions and revelations given. So I pray, Lord, there be visions and revelations given in this church to each and every one to the call that you've called us to. Lord, show the works, I pray, that you've already planned for each one of us to do, Lord, so that we can walk in them by faith, and all the glory to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombol Krishna Fellowship.